Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
Welcome to The Jump. I am Rachel Nichols alongside Brian Windhorst, Kendrick Perkins, and shout out Samuel Grubbs for that video you just watched with him flipping those coins. That was insane. That was amazing. I don't know if we have anything else that impressive going on in the next half hour, but we will try. Coming up are the protocols laid out by the league regarding who can get into the Orlando campus fair. The head of the coaches union says no, they are not. Stick around to hear why, but first, Dwight Howard spent yesterday in the Atlanta courtroom where a Fulton County district attorney announced he was bringing felony murder charges against the police officer who killed Rayshard Brooks. That district attorney is Dwight's uncle. And aside from showing his support at the courthouse, Dwight also released a statement to The Athletic to once again support Kyrie Irving and Kyrie's push to have the NBA address certain social and health concerns before restarting. Dwight writes, quote, "As radical as Kyrie sounds, he's 100% right." He goes on to say, "Our main objective is to raise awareness and gain transparency. Many of our fellow players are afraid to voice their concerns and are continuing to follow along with what they believe they have to." Kendrick, what do you think of Dwight's position here? He still hasn't said yet whether he is going to play in Orlando. Obviously, his Lakers teammates very interested to see what he does.
Well, here it is, Rachel. First off, let me start off by saying this. I'm all in for whatever to have change in America for civil rights and the justice system or whatever the case may be. But when Dwight Howard speaks out and he says that Kyrie is 100% right, how? When he doesn't have a plan behind it. Listen, if everyone came together collectively in the NBA and said, you know what, we're going to make a stance and set out and here's the plan after, okay, cool, I'm with it. But they still have yet to tell us the plan. And that's the problem that I have. Like us sitting out, them sitting out as NBA players, what is your plan after? Because you're not hurting the owners. You're only hurting yourselves. By the way, the NBA is made up of 80% African Americans. So you're only taking money away from the players, by the way, that could give that money to the African American communities to better the communities. And so, by the way, you're giving, the owners have the leverage also to tap the CBA. And so I just don't know, like, what is the stance behind this? Like, I'm all in for it if they have a plan. But no, I can't agree with this. Kyrie is not 100% right. I'm sorry.
I think everybody agrees with Dwight's position and Kyrie's position being something that is worth fighting for. I think as Perk describes this, a lot of players, though, don't think and agree with the way that they're fighting it, especially going outside the bounds of the union, which has shown a lot of ability to negotiate with the owners and create meaningful maneuvers and meaningful initiatives. Now, if their point is that they have leverage in this moment and that leverage needs to be maximized, I agree. I think absolutely. And some of the things that Avery Bradley described to Malika Andrews and Woj over the last few days about changing and hiring practices and donations specifically from NBA teams to causes and not players, I agree with all of that. I just think it was the way he went outside the bounds while acting as a vice president of the union that has rubbed people the wrong way. And look, we all know Kyrie. He has no problem rubbing people the wrong way. That's the way he rolls.
And listen, real quick, we have to do a better job of separating Kyrie's statement from Avery Bradley's statement, because I agree with Avery Bradley 100%. They're two different people.
They are two different people, but they are working together. They have formed this coalition together. When players do that, sometimes one speaks, the other speaks, but they are speaking together. I would say that what they have developed over the last few days, and it did take a little bit to develop, and to your point, Brian, I know there are people who are with Kyrie on some of those earlier union calls. He is a vice president who felt, well, you were with us a week ago. What's happening now? So I get all the methodology being an issue. But look, Avery Bradley asked, and with Kyrie's backing, for some very specific things. And those specific things are important. Improving hiring practices for coaches and front office executives. Perk, I know you and I have been banging the drum for Troy Weaver on this show for years.
Yes.
We are going to
yes.
talk later in today's show about how he was finally hired by the Detroit Pistons, but that should have happened somewhere a while ago. So that is valid. The other part of their platform that they have honed in on that I really appreciate is they are talking about the specific owners of the NBA doing more. And I think that you are talking about men and women who are among the richest Americans out there. The amount of wealth among NBA owners is incredible when you look at the numbers. And I do think that it is incumbent on some of those owners to look at their practices, the kind of businesses and sponsors that they work with, what kind of platforms and programs they're supporting. And I do appreciate the players putting a spotlight on that. I don't know how much gets done before players have until next week, June 24th. That is less than a week to decide if they're going to report or not. Brian, how many players do you expect to opt out of reporting to Disney World?
I think we're going to see a number, but I don't know if it's going to be because of the political situation. I think we're going to start seeing players test positive relatively soon here because the testing is already going on for some teams. And just like we're seeing college athletes, just like we're seeing MLS players with NFL players, guys are going to test positive. And the rates of infection are rising in Orlando. So there's a number of reasons why you could get skittish about not wanting to commit to this. Being in solidarity with Kyrie, Avery Bradley, and others is only one of those reasons.
Yeah, I agree with you, Brian. I think, you know, if players opt out, it's not going to be because of what's going on in America for civil rights, but it's going to be because of the coronavirus. Guys are going to test positive before going to Orlando. Guys are going to be afraid of getting the coronavirus. I think that is a concern. But far as, in my opinion, from what I know, guys want to play. I talk to a lot of guys around the league. I talk to a lot of coaches around the league. And guys are excited about starting up the season. Guys are ready to get back to work. I just read an article that the Toronto Raptors are going out there days early than everyone else. So guys are excited about playing basketball. But I do think a percentage of guys may stay home. But it's not due to what's going on for us with the civil rights movement or whatever the case may be, is going to be due to the coronavirus situation.
Well, look, Dwight said in the most recent statement he released, he said, our goal was to bring transparency, accountability, to have these conversations. We're certainly having more of them since Kyrie held that phone call last Friday. So, you know, that goal has been met. We'll have to see how it's affected by the time this June 24th date comes around. All right, coming up, we're running back Ray Allen's iconic shot to stave off elimination for the Heat in 2013. You don't want to miss that. That is on this date. First, though, it's time for distant replays from other years featuring Tim Duncan and Dwayne Wade, 99-2006.
They're down eight. Mario Elie, good free throw shooter, and they're thinking about fouling him. Avery Johnson to Duncan, and that may spell good night.
Bob, how frightening it is. This guy has played 1 year and 50 games in the NBA, and he's already the best player in the league. How frightening, and the future for this young guy as he rolls into a Game 2 victory.
Wade pulls up. Bang! Dwayne Wade again!
Oh, my. And he's making it so easy, smooth, not in a hurry, reading the defense.
A minute remaining.
The Jump is brought to you by The Last of Us Part 2. Available June 19th. Rated M for mature.
It could be a routine drive to pick up the kids after school, or an epic road trip across the country. No matter where your travels take you, we know those miles count. We're Marathon. We have over 5,700 stations across our great nation. Our people are working hard every day to provide you with quality top-tier gasoline to improve engine performance and fuel your life. Marathon, fueling the American spirit.
Did you know Geico's now offering an extra 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies? That's 15% on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Your baby to let you sleep in?
What? We could sleep in another half hour? Thanks, sweetheart. And you'll change yourself, too?
There's never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Limitations apply. Visit geico.com for details.
Coming up next, it's 20 minutes of Jalen and Jacoby, highly questionable and around the horn. That's followed by a two-hour sports center at 5 p.m. And guys, what I love about The Jump is that if we have a good conversation during the commercial break, we just blow up the rest of the rundown and keep having it. Brian, you brought up a point about Dwight Howard if he decides not to go to Orlando.
Yeah, the difficulty for the Lakers is if Dwight says he doesn't want to go, they have to replace him. They don't have room on their roster for a non-active player. They would have to sign a player. And since he doesn't get paid and his contract goes up, his time with the Lakers would essentially be over. And that's a tough reality with not a lot of time that Dwight Howard has got to make that part of his decision-making process.
So they would have to cut him. I want to be really specific, right?
Well, they can sign him they can sign a replacement player for him. But once he doesn't go into the bubble, he can't enter. So that would be it.
Well, I'm going to go out on a limb, Brian, and take it a step further and say Dwight Howard can't go because now if he go, he's going to lose all credibility for what he's standing for and what he's talking about right now. So if he's backing up Kyrie Irving 100%, and I'm all with it, if he's standing for what he believes in, I will support him. But there's no way he could go down to Orlando and play after talking about it and saying he want to make a stance and that he agree with Kyrie Irving. He has to stay home.
Well, it will be interesting. His agent has said that he hasn't decided yet whether he's going to stay or go again. He has less than a week before he has to notify the NBA. All right, let's move on to the coaching side of things because the NBA is reserving the right to bar any coaches or team personnel from Orlando if a panel of physicians deems that person at too high a risk to become seriously ill if he or she contracts coronavirus. And that is a big problem for the NBA Coaches Association. A statement given to our Adrian Wojnarowski and Zach Lowe says the rule could, quote, seriously jeopardize some coaches' future employment opportunities. Quote, the health and safety of all NBA coaches is our main concern. However, we're also concerned with the coaches' opportunity to work and not have their ability to secure future jobs severely jeopardized. Absent a significant threat, we believe a coach should be able to understand and assume their individual risks, waive liability, and coach in Orlando. Warren Legere, the agent for Mike D'Antoni and Alvin Gentry, told ESPN on Wednesday, quote, I hope this is there is a basketball solution to this issue rather than a legal one. A little saber rattling there. Brian, the key word in the sentence is legal because there are federal laws on the books right now that prohibit discrimination against someone in the workforce because of their age. There's laws that prohibit discrimination due to medical conditions. We also know the CDC does say anyone over 65 is at higher risk of dying due to COVID-19. So how does the league remedy this issue?
There's really no remedy. There's going to be a loggerhead. It's going to be a little bit of a game of chicken because the league knew exactly what it was doing, putting this language in there. The way it's written in the protocol, they have a doctor who makes a supreme decision that says you cannot come if we think you're too much at risk, and that is an EEOC violation. I'm not an employment attorney, but the folks that I've talked to in the league think that this could be a losing argument in court. They're hoping it doesn't get to court. But I don't know how this is going to be resolved because obviously some of these coaches feel very strongly about this and the doctors who are advising the NBA feel very strongly about this.
The NBA is wrong. They are dead wrong for this. I'm siding with the coaches. You cannot tell the coaches that they can't come and coach their team. Like, let them make that decision. I know it's some type of way, like you said, I'm not an attorney, Brian. And you aren't either, but it's some type of way that they could get this in writing and come up with some type of waiver that to let the coaches sign it and say, hey, we're not accountable for this, but you could come and coach your team. I think they ought to let the coaches decide. It's not fair to the coaches. And by the way, it's not too many young spring chickens in the coaching league that's coaching right now anyway. So a lot of the coaches are old anyway. So I'm siding with the coaches on this one. I think the NBA is wrong for this. I understand them protecting themselves from, you know, lawsuits or whatever the case may be and protecting the coaches' health, but let them decide.
And look, I want to make it clear what Warren Legere is talking about when he talks about future employment. Mike D'Antoni's contract with the Rockets is going to be up at the end of the season. There are a lot of people who think that those two parties are going to part ways. Now, Mike D'Antoni should be a very attractive coaching candidate to other teams. But considering we still believe coronavirus is going to be with us throughout next season and a threat until they develop a vaccine, if you are another team and there is potentially another bubble situation coming or some other situation that has to deal with the coronavirus threat, and you already know that coaches of a certain age are being flagged by the league, you might decide, you know what, we would otherwise go with Mike D'Antoni, but in this case, we're just going to make the decision to go with someone else because we don't want to deal with that flag in the future. That is what Warren Legere is talking about, and that is a concern, and that's why there are laws in this country set up to protect it. We will have to see what happens here. All right, coming up, we keep hearing a lot of the same names every time a head coaching job opens up. But what free agent coach is most likely to land with a new team? Stick around for that. First here, though, is what The Jump recommends for today. 11-time champion and noted activist Bill Russell wrote an op-ed in the Boston Globe on racial equality. Russell writes, quote, "I have been waiting my whole life for America to live up to that promise." Powerful words. The Jump will be right back.
Did you know Geico's now offering an extra 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies? That's 15% on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Your baby to let you sleep in?
What? We could sleep in another half hour? Thanks, sweetheart. And you'll change yourself, too?
There's never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Limitations apply. Visit geico.com for details.
The Jump is brought to you by Disney Plus. All of your favorites, all in one place. Sign up today.
The 28th annual ESPYs are happening virtually, of course, hosted by WNBA star Sue Bird, U.S. Women's National Team star Megan Rapinoe, and Seahawks quarterback Russell Wilson. Sunday, June 21st, ESPN. And now we look back on Game 6 of the 2013 Finals, which occurred on this date 7 years ago. Watch for the yellow tape, people.
At that point, we're 20-plus seconds ago, and us being down 5, doubt creeps into your mind, saying, is this how it ends? But at the same time, the competitive side of you say, okay, the game is not over.
Back out to James, another three. It's good! Two-point game with 20 seconds remaining.
I think about Game 6 every day. I'm anxious for the day to come when it doesn't go through my mind.
James catches, puts up the three, won't go. Rebound, Bosh, back out to Allen. His three-pointer, bang! Allen from downtown! Overtime here in Game 6. Wade the drive, inside to James. He back up by one. They need a three. Three, blocked by Bosh. Game over. There'll be a Game 7.
Man, oh man, Brian and I could both hear that crowd like it was yesterday. All right, it's crunch time here on The Jump. Kevin Love, slated to win the Arthur Ashe Courage Award at this year's ESPYs. Love has become a spokesman for mental health and wellness, created the Kevin Love Foundation to deal with maintaining mental health. Kevin said, quote, "It's an absolute honor to receive this award. I'm incredibly humbled by it." Perk, this is a former teammate. What was your reaction when Kevin first began speaking out on mental health issues? Because there was a real stigma around it.
Well, I just want to say, Kevin Love, thank you, man. Thank you for having the courage to come front and be on the front line of this. One of the first guys to speak out, one of the first athletes to come forward and address mental health. And I think it's a beautiful thing to see. And K-Love has done a great job in the community. And right now is the time for you to stick your chest out. And you accept that award with open arms, my brother, because we're proud of you. I know I am.
Absolutely.
Before the
Go ahead, Brian.
Before the coronavirus, mental health was the biggest thing challenging the NBA, and it's still going to be there when the coronavirus is in our past.
Yeah, and is going to be a challenge through the time in Orlando. Congratulations to Kevin, Shannon, everybody else involved with Kevin's foundation. This is huge, and the recognition of it only furthers the idea and the causes that they're working with. All right, the Detroit Pistons, Troy Weaver, signing a four-year deal to make him the franchise's new general manager. Sources tell Adrian Wojnarowski, Weaver had been the vice president of basketball operations with Oklahoma City. Perk, this was your pick for the job when we discussed it a few weeks back. Explain to the people why Troy Weaver is such a good leader.
Rachel, you know I have been campaigning for Troy Weaver for the longest. Troy Weaver has one of the best eye for talents in the NBA. When you look at Troy Weaver, not only did he take a chance in drafting Russell Westbrook in the lottery, but go back to his college days when he worked for Syracuse. He was the one that got Carmelo Anthony to Syracuse. Troy Weaver has a great eye for talent, and I'm so happy and so proud. This time is way overdue for him, and Detroit has struck gold with this one.
Yeah, the Pistons tried to hire him 2 years ago, but the Thunder denied permission. We're going to have to find out. This guy's one of the most respected guys in the league, no doubt. We're going to have to find out where he ranks in the hierarchy, though, because there's a little bit of no clarity on who's got final say. We'll see, because Troy Weaver is a guy who deserves to run the organization.
Absolutely deserves final say, and I'm glad he finally has some say, at least, in terms of being the head of the organization. I am looking forward to his success there. Sources telling Woj also that Orlando Magic assistant Pat Delaney and Spurs assistant Will Hardy will interview for the Knicks head coaching job. So throw another two names onto their list of potential candidates. Of course, there are a few free agent head coaches whose names keep coming up every time a job opens up. So, Brian, which current free agent coach do you see being hired before next season begins?
Well, I thought Tom Thibodeau was going to get this job, and I guess I still do, but the fact that they're going this deep is either a tremendous effort to have depth in their search process, or they're really unsettled. But I still think that Tom Thibodeau is the front runner for this job. I thought it the day that Leon Rose was hired as the Knicks president.
Well, listen, Brian, I think it's time for change. I think it's time to get some new young blood. I'm tired of, we can't keep rotating suits. Like, it's time to put some new blood in there. And I have a list of guys. I think former NBA players, you know, Ty Lue, who's a champion, obviously. We're talking about Damon Stoudemire, who's done a great job in college. Sam Cassell, who has been a long-time assistant. It's time to get some young blood in there and get some younger guys that could relate to this new generation of NBA players. It's not like the old days. You got to be able to relate to these guys on and off the court with this social media world to get the best out of them. So I'm tired of us rotating suits. I love Tom Thibodeau, but I need to get some young blood up in these coaches' seats.
Rotating suits, that's a great expression, Perk. I mean, Brian, is part of it depending on which way the Knicks want to go? If they think they're going to have a younger team that needs development, or if they're going to, once again, go star hunting?
Yeah, I mean, is Bradley Beal available in trade this summer or fall, I guess, or not? I mean, that's a factor. You know, the other guy that we haven't talked about is Mike Miller. He did a terrific job in that role. And if you haven't been paying attention, guys who've been promoted from the G League, as Mike Miller was, have done very well. So, you know, developing a young team is what Tom Thibodeau was tasked with in Minnesota. It didn't go so well. That should be meaningful, maybe.
Well, Rachel, I think they're going to need a young coach, because guess what? They're not going to get a star in the, they're not going to get a star player in the trade. They're going to get a star in the draft. So they're going to be young with RJ Barrett, and they're going to draft LaMelo Ball. I keep preaching that. So they have to go with a young coach to relate to that young culture. So I'm all in for a young coach like Damon Stoudemire or even Ty Lue. He's still a young coach. So I mean, whoever they, you know, just go young. Quit rotating suits. Go young.
Go young, good advice for everyone. See you guys tomorrow.